Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Andy Bunker and Randy McMichael with you until 2 o'clock. Dukes and Bell going to be live from the Gulch, getting ready for Atlanta United versus Monterey, the second leg in this this portion of the CONCACAF Champions League. Joining us to get us ready for tonight's game here in studio, nice enough to join us in studio, Jason Longshore, one half of the Atlanta United broadcast team. How are you, Jason?
Doing well. What's up, guys?
Not much. Just trying to find some positivity to look forward to in tonight's game, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, neither one of us has really come up with a ton.
We're trying not to sound like we're conceding.
There's no white flag being waved.
You can't go in with that approach. Look, yesterday, prime example, Juventus and Atletico Madrid. Juve goes back home down 2-0 in the second leg. You read all the articles before the game starts. It's, man, this team hasn't played well since December. They're not scoring goals from the run of play. Atletico Madrid's unbelievable defensively. No chance for Juve. What they do, they went through and they won. They won 3-2.
Yeah.
Anything can happen, but you got to get some goals in the first half, at least one, to push this thing forward.
Okay, so yeah, that sounds like the if you're planning a blueprint.
Okay.
And it goes exactly the way that realistically. Mm-hmm. If you're making a blueprint for how Atlanta United beat Monterey, like not just get a result, because I think, you know, you go out and win 2-0 tonight or 3-1 or something like that, at least there's some positives.
There's good things
to build
coming
on.
Out of that, sure.
But legitimately advance past them. What does that blueprint look like?
You break it into 30-minute segments. You get a goal in each 30 minutes. You get a goal in the first 30. That's reasonable. That's not coming out and running around crazy to start. That's not getting reckless to start and losing it in the first 10, 15. You score in the first 30. You take it to halftime. You get a goal either before halftime or after halftime. And you're one goal down with 30 minutes to play.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a wild atmosphere at the Benz if that's the case. And Monterey is going to have to deal with that. This is a team that lost their lead late against their crosstown rivals Tigres on the weekend on kind of a fluky goal. They fall into third in the Mexican League right now. They're questioning themselves a bit. You give them a reason to question themselves tonight, anything can happen.
What do you think the lineup will look like? Will it be more of the young guys, or do you think that because even though it seems like it's impossible for them to move on, do you see them going out there with the big dogs today?
I think you go with the best lineup you can today, and that's probably going to be somewhere in between. You're going to have to rest some players just because they're not going to be ready to give you 90 minutes. You are missing Leandro Gonzalez Pires as well due to yellow card accumulation. So that's the big question is, do you replace him like for like? So you bring in another center back, stay in a 3-4-3. Could that be Jeff Lorenowitz dropping to the back line? We've seen that before. Could it be Florentin Pogba, who's expected to be in the 18? He played for the second team on the weekend and looked pretty good for about 60 minutes or so. That's the first question is, does that change the shape? LGP's absence. But other guys who are going to, you have to look at, I think Parkhurst has played a lot lately. He's got a lot of miles on his legs. Eric Rometty's looked a little tired in matches here lately. If you're basically going to be going to every guy and saying, can you play? Can you give me 90? Mm-hmm. If you can, you're playing. I think that's where you're at tonight.
Is tonight a bit of almost a challenge to the fan base a little bit? I know that Sunday, the atmosphere as the game wore on wasn't what we expected. Mm-hmm. Look, you can't blame people for that. The atmosphere on the field wasn't what we've come to expect. Given the situation, given the 3-0 aggregate deficit, the talent that Monterey has, we understand the odds that you're up against tonight. Mm-hmm. Is tonight sort of a challenge to the 17s to say, all right, you still got to show up and be the fan base that you are?
Yeah, I don't think it's so much a challenge from a negative perspective. It is a chance for Atlanta's soccer fans, I think, to put their flag down that they are the best fan base in the United States even more. Because mm-hmm. it's easy for a game like this midweek to say, man, it's 3-0 down. You know, I got to work tomorrow. I got stuff going on. I'm going to skip it. It's easy to get in the building and have a negative vibe, but we've seen it so many times, and these players have said it so many times. When that building gets going and you get that roar, it's a jolt of energy. And when we talk about tired legs, these guys need that jolt of energy. It can have an effect tonight. You see it around the world in games like this.
Jay, the formation that everybody's been talking about, the 3-4-3, mm-hmm. and everybody's been throwing that out, what does this team have to do to find a way to catch up to it? Because it seems like they're just out of balance when they're playing it.
I think right now it's not even formation. It's more about mentality. And I think they're in their head a little bit at the moment. They're so focused on not losing possession in bad spots that they're taking the simple play. They're taking the simple pass. the closest pass, as opposed to taking some chances in the final third. They have to get players in behind. And when Cincinnati gives up a goal 5 minutes in and says, all right, we're not going to give up any more. We don't care what happens other than we're not conceding more goals, and we'll see what happens. We're going to sit deep with a line of four. We're going to sit deep with three midfielders. You're going to have to break down seven guys.
Right.
And they just created a wall at the final third,
yeah.
And Atlanta could not get behind them. There were no runs off the ball, no through balls, no balls over the top. The stuff that we've seen in the past, it just wasn't there. It was a little too simple and the same tempo all day.
Well, doesn't that seem like a reasonable tactic for Monterey tonight, though? I mean, you're
absolutely
up three goals. You just sort of, you see what, I mean, you don't, probably don't see what Cincinnati did and say, we're going to do what Cincinnati did. You're probably a little more creative than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that would be a smart way to play today, given that just so long as you don't give up three, you move on.
Yeah, if you're Rayados, you're coming into this looking at, okay, you're traveling to Tijuana after this. You've got, that's a long trip right after this for a league match. You'd like to sit and rest a little bit. You're not going to go, I don't think, for a goal early to kill it off. I think you're going to sit and relax today. Sometimes that mentality can be difficult because if you get punched in the mouth, It's hard to snap out of that. It's hard to snap out of it and say, okay, now we have to play on the front foot. Santos Laguna did it last night, though. Go back and look at that one. The Red Bulls scored twice in the first 10 minutes to even the series up. And then they took a big chance in the 65th minute with an attacking sub, and it all fell apart. They gave up four goals in 10 minutes.
That's pretty bad.
That's brutal.
That's a brutal way to go out of the Champions League.
Very bad.
Really, really bad. One of my favorite players, because you put me on him, I watched him, and he's been banged up, George Bello. What's his status, and how would he fit into this type of formation? Because with his availability, would you see a different type of flow if he's out there?
Yeah, I think he's a guy who can get in behind a defense, and he gives that speed. He's a different type of player than Breck Shea. Breck Shea is a guy who 1v1, if you try to stand him up, he can beat you. Bello can do that, but Bello is more comfortable playing into space and getting in behind. He played 60-plus minutes with the second team on the weekend. Looked pretty sharp. I think he's ready. He's going to be available for the 18 tonight, him and Pogba both. I think you need to go with the best guys available, but something to shake it up, whether it's Bello coming in, whether it's Vialba coming in, something to give a little different flavor to it tonight would be really good.
Jason Longshore joining us in studio, getting us set for Atlanta United versus Monterey tonight. Atlanta enters the game down 3-0 on aggregate. You can hear the call tonight, by the way, 8 o'clock kickoff, 7:30 pregame on Star 94. The Atlanta Hawks are playing on 92.9 the game, so you guys will be on Star 94 tonight. If you had to identify one guy that needs to, if you're going to make this happen, if you're going to make this run tonight, who needs to be that creative player in the attack? I guess it could be a defensive player, but if there's one player tonight that needs to be the man of the match in order for Atlanta United to beat the odds and win this game, who needs to star?
It's either Pity Martinez or Joseph Martinez. I mean, you've got to get goals.
Do you
expect
both of them to play?
It's got to be those guys. Pity's the one I'd be a little more worried about, just because he's not 100% fit, had a little bit less time in preseason. I think Joseph plays. I think you'd have to drag him out of there. I think he's going to play if he's available. Pity, that's the question, and I've kind of went back and forth on it. I don't know if you start him and see how long he can give you to change this, or if you bring him on at halftime against a tired team, maybe he's a little more comfortable at that point. You want to get him comfortable is the biggest thing you want coming out of this tonight.
Comfortable. How long do you think it will take before your two best players supposedly get that comfort level? Because it's been so off, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so obvious how, you know, it's and we know how competitive Joseph is. But the frustration, it seems like it's a little bit more this year.
Yeah, we've seen it before, though. I mean, this isn't new. We've seen signboards get kicked and things like that
yeah,
happen.
That's true.
This is not a new thing for him. He's a competitor. I mean, that's the thing. He's got that bulldog mentality. I think with Pity, he's a little more of an artist in a lot of ways, and he's got to get comfortable with what Frank DeBoer is asking him to do with his teammates, understanding what kind of runs Joseph wants, what kind of passes he wants. And, you know, a guy like that, sometimes one goal, one big play can kind of unlock everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you get that early tonight, it's a different attitude. It's a different atmosphere.
Yeah, you see that with great players.
Mm-hmm.
Hitters, one
you get
home,
into a slump.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. You need one thing to sort of remind yourself, oh, yeah, I am this person. I was the South American Player of the Year for a reason. It wasn't a fluke. I just didn't get lucky for a long period of time. I'm actually very, very good. Now, I want to ask you a question about perception,
mm-hmm.
about what tonight could do. We'll get to that in a minute. But I haven't had a chance to talk to you since Sunday happened. Now, we talked a lot on Friday. You were in studio with me Friday night for an hour. And the patience was a big part of the conversation, mm-hmm. and DeBoer needing to get everyone up to speed with everything that's changed. What changed for you, perception-wise, with the 90 minutes that were played on Sunday? Because we can't simply have the same opinion Monday morning mm-hmm. that we had Sunday morning, because Sunday did happen. Like, that game existed. What changed for you with the Cincinnati game?
I think seeing the team regress a bit, and that was the frustrating part about it, is you go back and you look at the Arediano match in Kennesaw, and you see what this team can be. Everybody says, well, they can't score a lot of goals in this formation. They did. You can. But it has to be connected the right ways. And I think the thing about Sunday that just stood out to me was everything was the same speed all day long. It was like listening to a relaxation tape or something where the music is the same tempo, same beats per minute for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. To be effective in this system especially, you've got to have ups and downs. Sometimes slow it down, but then speed it up. And the goal came from Julian Gressel speeding things up and playing a ball quickly. Need more of that, because otherwise it's too predictable. It's too easy for defenses.
How do they get more of that? That means
mentality.
I mean, when you say mentality, is it more or less a coaching mentality, or is it all on the players to get that kind of momentum going?
How often do we see this in a system with a new coach? And this can be any sport, where early on you're so focused as a player about, okay, we've been taught to do this. Right. We have to do this. We have to be responsible. We have to fill the gaps. We have to fill the positioning. You get so wrapped into that you don't play with that personality that you have.
Right.
You don't just play freely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it felt like Sunday to me. It felt like guys were so worried about playing the correct way that they weren't playing. And that's not a knock on the coach. That's just something that happens early on in a coaching reign, where you're getting a new idea across and you focus on it so much. Maybe a little too much.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen to anybody in their job, right? Like, you're learning a new script or something like that, or a new style of doing things, and you're so focused on learning how to do it by the book that you forget the individual talent that you bring to the profession, and you forget about it. You lose it. You don't bring that to the table, and then you become this weird stiff robot like you're talking about. That once you actually ingest the new system, then you can start to freestyle a little bit. And I think that's the thing that we love about this Atlanta United team, though, and that's what we're not seeing.
Right.
That was the identity to me of this team, was the ability just to play with this open, free-flowing style and allow these great individual talents open space to demonstrate that. And right now we're just seeing a lot of like little short passes and guys like uptight, and it's like, be
you.
Have some flair, be you.
The best teams, the best artists have that ability to do both. To fit into a system and do things correctly by the book, but also be able to improvise and free will. I mean, think of a great singer. You know, you want somebody who can hit the notes and do the right things, you know, behind the mic.
Yeah.
But you also love it when they kind of improvise a little bit of an ad lib, a little bit of this. That's what gets you when you see something live. We need to see more of that.
Jay, there was something that I was talking to somebody on Twitter about, and it was like when DeBoer was getting his job, a lot of it was explained to us, well, him and Tata do similar things.
Mm-hmm.
What has been similar about what him and Tata have done? Outside of all the negative stuff that we've seen, has there been anything positive that Tata did that Frank DeBoer has shown so far this year?
I think three in the back is one thing we've seen that is very similar, and that's something that Tata Martino went from 2017 to 2018, going to three in the back and focusing on possession. I mean, that's something that I think a lot of times when people are saying right now, this team's so different, you're comparing it to 2017 Atlanta United. 2017 was when they played in a 4-2-3-1 and pressed all the time. They didn't press much last year. Go back and look at the numbers. They're not there. Go back and look at how the team finished the season. It was a defensive 3-5-2 because playing on the front foot in a 3-5-2 wasn't working, mm-hmm. and you wanted to lift a trophy, so you got pragmatic and you got defensive. Now, what I think Frank DeBoer is trying to do as a progression is take it to where you're defensive, you have that security, you can control games, control it via possession, and then not lose that attacking side. Right now, that's the disconnect. You're controlling possession, you're controlling games a lot of times. You don't have that attacking flair yet. It's like the building blocks are coming. Mm-hmm. They're not finished yet.
Jason Longshore in studio with us. One final quick one. We got to go quickly, so I got to ask you this question fast. can tonight change the first five-game perception, the negative angst that people feel? What can happen tonight to switch that?
Oh, it can absolutely change it. You advance, forget it. That's one of the greatest wins in Atlanta United history. That's one of the greatest moments in Atlanta sports history.
Yeah.
If you have a good performance tonight, you get some goals, you get the building rocking, I think you're going to have a much different feeling on Sunday.
All right.
Didn't I tell you that? It's like they may not win it, but I'm just talking about be competitive.
You can come out of it feeling a whole lot different tonight.
Yes. Take a step forward instead of a step back like you did on Sunday.
Exactly.
Jason, great stuff, man. We will be well, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to be listening because I'm going to be doing
you're going to be busy.
I'm going to be doing the Hawks game.
It's all right.
But if I wasn't, I'd be listening.
Give Trey my best.
Always.
All right, man. Good luck tonight.
Appreciate it, Jay.
Adios.
Bring them some luck as well.